Jerry Bader Show, talking about the Congressional Budget Office report that seems to be somewhat bipolar on the impact of minimum wage. It says raising the minimum wage from 7.25 incrementally to 10.10 by 2016 would cost about 500,000 jobs, but would raise about just shy of 1 million of the 45 million in poverty out of poverty. Several excellent points have been made. One is, okay, but everything costs more, which it would. If you suddenly have to pay someone at McDonald's, Burger King, or anyone else 10.10, won't that raise the price of their food? So doesn't that raise the poverty line? We also have emailers debating whether there really is a ripple effect. Does raising the minimum wage raise the wages of others? Some say yes. This one says no. No, it doesn't happen. When the minimum wage goes up by $3, the rest of us don't get $3 per increase. Not right away. That's true. Suddenly, the value of my work is now worth $3 less per hour. Plus, all of the prices that have to increase for employers to afford the $3 increase makes every dollar I do make worth less and less. Minimum wage is not supposed to be a living wage. I will tell you that she just revealed a whole lot of what I feel about this. Because the way it's being reported is, well, see, it's still kind of hard to say. Because the CBO is saying that it would cost, actually what the CBO said is up to 1 million jobs. But they settled on 500,000. But it would lift those people out of poverty. What do you think? And I'll get to my point. I think this CBO report, even though it tries to have balance, shows that conservatives have been right all along. Jim in Green Bay, thanks for waiting. Hi, you're on the Jerry Bader Show. I shouldn't have thanked him for waiting until I heard him speak. Let's go to Jim on the road. Jim, go ahead.
Hey, Jerry. You know, there's one thing that nobody's talked about this entire time that kind of bothers me is this is a tax increase. Because if you raise the minimum wage, you raise all their taxes for income. You raise the cost of goods, which is more sales tax. I mean, that's what I see the minimum raise. Just the tax increase.
Well, I get where you're going on this. They're probably, you know, their income is probably still to the point where they wouldn't pay any taxes. But here's what I would say. It's a tax on employers.
Employee has to pay tax. The employer has to pay tax.
And just the additional wage, Jim, I would consider a tax because it's government imposed.
Yes.
If it's government imposed, I call it a wage hike. And the increased cost of goods and services that go along with that increased minimum wage to the rest of us, I would also consider it a tax. If your Big Mac does cost another buck or two more, I would consider that a tax because it was government mandated. If any other goods or services that cost more, it's because it was government mandated. By the way, and I know they won't, but if liberals want to make the case that the CBO report shows that their side is right, you're free to do that. 406-1360, 888-455-1360. Dave in Appleton. Dave, hi, you're on the Jerry Bader Show.
Hi, Jerry. Thanks for taking my call.
Yeah.
How about two for the price of one? My wife is in-home daycare. I'm disability, trying to get disability. If she gets a minimum wage increase, she's going to lose her job because they can't afford to keep her, and the lady that's paying her is going to have to quit and go home.
Okay. Well, yeah, that you're right. That is the twofer. That actually is the twofer. Dave, thanks a lot for the call. All right, I want to tell you what I think about this and why I think that the CBO report. Well, you can take more calls though. 406-1360, 888-455-1360, definitively shows that this is a bad idea, and that it does more harm than good. Gubernatorial candidate in Wisconsin Mary Burke did a huge reversal on this. When she first entered the race, she said she supported raising the $7.25 an hour by 35 cents an hour in Wisconsin. Token at best. Now, obviously, the argument she was trying to make is that it wouldn't hurt employers. Then, when this became the cause celeb for the movement, for the Democratic movement, and their campaign issue in 2014, then she was all about 10.10. Then, I changed my mind. It should be 10.10, and it won't hurt employment. Bear in mind, the CBO report said it could be as many as a million people, that it would lift 900,000 of the 45 million people considered to be in poverty out of poverty. I would submit it won't. And a caller made the really good point. You are reducing the purchasing power of that $10 an hour because it's got to come from somewhere. Now, it is just a reality. It's got to come from somewhere. Now, here's the way the White House tried to spin this. And by the way, you know it's going to cost jobs. What you don't know is how many people really is it going to lift out of poverty. So the chief economist for the White House, Jason Furman, obviously said, oh, this is good news. No, this is good news. CBO's, and this is a quote from him, CBO's central estimate is that the 10-10 minimum would lead to a 0.3% decrease in employment. Now, that's the way he's trying to spin it. You know what that sounds like? That sounds like the 5% that would lose their insurance. Let's turn it into a reasonably small-sounding percentage so it doesn't sound, okay, but it's the poorest of the poor, right? He went on. And CBO acknowledges that the employment impact could be essentially zero, or it could be a million. As I said, they split the difference. So he said, look, you've got 16.5 million workers that are going to get a raise. So some of those would climb above the federal poverty line. However, what he didn't stress is that the CBO says many low-income workers are not members of low-income families. Let me give you a for instance. If you are a family with a family income of $100,000 a year, and you have, and we'll get to the calls here in just a second, and you have a teenage daughter who's making minimum wage. Okay, so now she goes to 10-10. So you have those teenagers, you have second earners. The CBO estimate is a net $5 billion benefit to families with incomes below the poverty line. That's great for those who are keeping a job, and the Wall Street Journal points this out today. That's great for those keeping a job, not so good for those who will lose it. The CBO study says once the increases and decreases in income of all workers are taken into account, overall real income would rise by $2 billion. That's out of an economy of $16 trillion. At best, this is a wash, and I think you've got to put a happy face spin on it to make it a wash. Mike on the road. Mike, how are you on the Jerry Bader Show?
Good morning, Jerry. Thanks for taking the call.
Yep.
One of the points that everybody's missing in this whole debate over minimum wage, living wage, et cetera, nobody mentions productivity. There has to be productivity to correlate how much you're getting paid. Otherwise, it doesn't work.
Well, I think, okay, you're saying productivity. Maybe you do mean productivity. But usually when we make this case, we're talking about value. If that job is, so what you're saying is the job has to be worth 10-10 an hour, right?
Exactly.
Yeah.
A business has to be able to pull in enough revenue to be able to afford to pay that for it to work.
Mike, here's the way my dad, and by the way, my dad's politics and my politics today are very different, but my dad, God rest his soul, here's the way when I got my first part-time job, Mike, minimum wage was $2.62 an hour. He pointed something out to me. For the employer to benefit from me, I would have to be worth at least $2.63 an hour for him to make one penny an hour on me. That's the way it works. And that's why flipping burgers pays $7.25 an hour. That is and that, by the way, Mike, is another thing that defeats the point here. Thanks a lot for the call. To Jim and Elton. Jim, how are you on the Jerry Bader Show?
Yeah, just one quick comment here. Yeah, we're kind of focused on McDonald's, the end cost there.
Yeah.
But if you back it up, starting with production, manufacturing,
sure,
distribution, these are multiplying costs, which the end result is a lot greater than you actually think. Does that make sense?
It makes perfect sense. And let me tack on to that, Jim. I agree with you 100% on that. And here's something no one else has mentioned, so I will mention it now. Do you really think they're going to be happy with and stop at 10-10? Of course not.
Well, of course not.
You know, so think about the multiplier that you just talked about and now put it at $15 an hour.
I believe, same principle there, but you got to look at the whole picture, not the end result.
I totally agree with you on that. Jamie on the road, you get the last word on this. Jamie, go ahead.
Well, I was just thinking when we were talking about this, what about these people who really are, they're making the minimum wage now, and they're taking advantage of a lot of subsidies and government assistance programs. Are those going to knock, or is raising the minimum wage going to knock them out for that then? Or are we going to raise everything to accommodate them?
Well, okay, that's a really good question. Okay, my suspicion is they would probably still qualify for most of that stuff. I don't have that in front of me. But it does, okay, that, and an earlier caller made that, and I think you're in the same ballpark here. You move that poverty line. You move that requirement line. It's really all smoke and mirrors because it's just all going to move. Jamie, thanks a lot for the call. Appreciate it. All right, we're going to get on to other things. The absolute smear campaign to neutralize Obamacare. Good news on the Walker tax cut front. And a whole lot more. It's 9:47.
The Jerry Bader Show.